You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Revelation and chapter 4. Revelation and chapter 4. Now, going way into the future for us anyway, in the light of what's going on in God's holy, happy heaven. God, what's going on up there? Well, we're told, activity, in Revelation chapter 4. And you will notice, please, in the light of the context, the great God sitting on the throne, etc., etc. Verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day nor night, no rest, saying, Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and they're giving what? Glory and honor and thanksgiving. Now, what are they? These are creatures. These are awesome creatures of all the different creatures God makes. And here are four of them. And they are giving thanks to God where they are, in the presence of God, in the light of what? That God is their creator, and they were created to have a wonderful, wonderful ability in their spirit beings to relate and honor and appreciate the magnificence of God. Therefore, chapter 4, if I can, in verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. Remember, we read that down in verse 9. The beasts are doing that. Everyone's doing that. Glory and honor and power. For reason, Thou hast created all things, including everything and everyone everywhere. God hath created all things, and for thy pleasure, for thy will, pleasure, will, they are and were created. So all of creation that is capable of it is able to respond, rightly so, to all of the wonderful working, the outworking of their existence. Everything living has its existence in and by God. And they all are thankful for that. They appreciate that. They respond to that. Now, that's what they do. And it's an awesome thing. It isn't. Hang on. Go with me, please, now back from there. Here we are there looking at that right now. We're going to move down here. Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, you would recall God, his righteous judgments being put forth, his righteousness, a treatise of righteousness, his righteousness. And in the light of all of that, what's the problem? Well, his creation, humans in this case, what are they doing? Well, you know, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, they're having the truth, holding and having the truth, but they don't honor the truth. They have it in an unright way, unrighteous way. Now, sliding down if I can, well, I'll read the context since it's so relevant. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, clear, plain, simple, in them, so there's no question about where they are in the world or when they were born in the world. It doesn't matter in history or anything. If they're a human being, they qualify for the statement. Therefore, is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, verse 21, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. What did you read about the four beasts and the elders and everyone else? They give him glory and honor and thanksgiving. That's what they understand. Glory, honor, and thanksgiving. What are humans? Humans, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened, dull, darkened, tasteless. Their heart, think of the word taste, think of your taste buds, and you couldn't ever taste anything. There's no difference between anything. They'd all be the same. No. Tasteless. Fools. God created them to enjoy his magnificence, and they're tasteless. They're fools. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, therefore, God, in the light of everything, you require thanksgiving. Absolutely. Thanksgiving is what? Is the attitude, is an attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving. We recognize something has been received. We are created and kept. And we are created and kept in an awesome way. Let me approach it a different window. We all have physical bodies, and all our different systems within the body, nervous system and all of it, all of those different systems are functioning right now. And they function all the time. When they don't function, we are in trouble. Are you always thinking and thankful for your systems? When was the last time you thanked God for your spleen and pancreas working? We don't. No, why? Because those are real. God created that. And the only time we really come to grips with that probably is when you're sick or have a physical problem, and the physical problem is of such a nature that you're affected by it, affected. And in the process, when you feel better, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when you feel better? Whatever it is? Sure you are. We appreciate that. But we're talking about the body. Now, God, like Psalm 139, David, we are awesome, fearfully, and wonderfully made. No question. Now, God, that's our body functioning without any instructions from us. God, you created that body to function. And we ought to be thankful you're the manager, the administrator of this body. So here's all our bodies. God created our body, designed it, and humans propagated it. Now, we have these bodies that are awesome, and they function. And as long as they function because God, you made them function. And now to get the other, say, well, so, well, listen. When you die, you can't die till God says so. Now, when God says die, that means things are going to stop somehow in your body. And who's in charge of stopping what's going on. God is. Even if you get hit with a steamroller, and I have to tell you, that does a job on you. God does that. Created, die, in between. Who's keeping this body? And when you come to know the Lord as your personal Savior, what awesome thing takes place? He takes over in what? This body belongs to whom? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which belongs to God. And all of a sudden, all of those systems, does God care? Is God managing, knowing everything? He designed it. And here it is all functioning. And God, it's all doing its thing. And now, God, are you in charge? Absolutely. Now, God, ought I to be thankful for that on an ongoing basis? I haven't even gone anywhere else. I just thought I just want to understand about me. And God says, you owe me thanksgiving. I'm taking care of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Are you appreciative? I'm watching it without having to go to the hospital and have 85 tests every minute. God is taking, watching over the body because he gave it, he made it, he owns it for believers. And that's an awesome thing. So God, you're looking for thanksgiving. I am. And therefore, I expect thanksgiving from humans. I expect it. I created them. Just think of our study in the Joshua 20 and that, on the cities of refuge and the blood goes in the ground, and the ground, and God claims, it tells, that's why you can't murder. Kill is one thing, murder is another. And in the process, you can't murder because the body belongs to God. Every human being born on planet Earth, that body belongs to God, and the person inside the body is God's. The person answers to God. So therefore God says, if you don't mind, I'm watching every person everywhere in all of the world. I'm very much concerned. And they ought to be thankful. They ought to be appreciative that I am. If you lived in the middle of some very difficult places of the world right now, and you have little or nothing in every way, shape, or form, materially, in every way, but there's God, and you could thank God. You could do that if you choose to. But you may not. You may not choose to. And that's the starting point. That's right. So therefore, to be thankful for that which you have, whether you understand it or not. And all I'm trying to get you to think about is the things we don't ever think about. We just take for granted and plow along with little to no understanding for the most part, practically, no practical, and we lose out because we aren't appreciative of God's wonderful care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, thankful. Thank you. God said, listen, they were not thankful. They at least can be thankful, but they choose to be unthankful. And I hold them guilty. They're guilty because I am doing it and they will not acknowledge God, which evolution and all of that, communism and all of that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and therefore God, when we have thanksgiving, what does that do? That helps us to have an understanding. That means if I say thank you from my heart, I have to receive something with some understanding to say thank you, don't I? So if I'm conscious of receiving, then there's thankfulness coming for what? I'm receiving. I'm receiving. Here's the water. I'm receiving. Thank you. Water, water. I have something. God, so when I'm saying thank you to God, I'm recognizing his constant watch care, his will, his word, his way, in a zillion ways I could never understand if I wanted to. Because God, you're doing it. And God said, you ought to be very thankful. You have no idea of everything going on all over your body, all over in the world you live in the state, the country, the world, you live in it. And the angelic world, and you ought to be thankful that I am who I am, said God. And you ought to trust me 24 hours a day. I never hear thank you. Where's your thanksgiving? Do you understand how I watch over you, take care of you? Well, no, I don't. They were unthankful in their heart, and they glorified not God. They just never did. So God, what are you saying? Well, if you want to grow and learn and be thankful, it'll help you with your Bible reading, Bible study. It'll help you understand, because you're receiving something. You have to be thankful. What are you saying? I'm thank you for. We eat the food, right? First Timothy 4. We eat the food and say thank you. That means food's coming in. Well, coming in. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and if we want to grow and learn, part of the problem is people, I don't understand and I don't learn and I think I'd have this. But they aren't thankful. It's when you're thankful that you really put yourself in the place to learn, because you're receiving. You're understanding God's wonderful, wonderful giving in all kinds of ways in all that he does. So therefore, and we're thankful not based on what we see or what we feel, or even what we understand. And we're trying to understand that we need to be thankful no matter what, when, or where. Over, if you would, Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And in Psalm 118, getting the flavor of it just a little, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, and because his mercy endureth forever. Let all Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Wow. God, thankful, thankful, thankful. Your mercy. God, where would we be without it? Your mercy and grace. It endures forever. And by the way, verse 1, you're good. Now you do good. All things work together for good, Romans 8:28, to the believing heart. But we aren't talking about the things. God, you're just good. Thank you for being a good God. Look at the end, Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God is very, very good. Therefore, God, we're looking to you in the light of your goodness, 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 goodness. Now, in the light of that, over if you would, please. Oh, to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. And you will notice, please, if I may, chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 12. This is the peace offering. all the different offerings, and the peace offering looks to Christ going to the cross, each offering a different aspect of taking care of sin, transgressions, etc., etc., and all of that. And here's the peace offering. What does that do? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the cross to make peace. He is our peace. Christ makes peace. God, we need to come to know you and receive you as our Savior. When we receive you as our Savior, we find what a relationship to God, the Father, not in hostility or war, but in peace. And that's why I think of John 14 and our studies in Sunday morning worship, John 14. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I've given peace. What are we going to do? What were they to do back then in the Old Testament? Verse 12. And if he offer for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with his sacrifice of thanksgiving. God, I want to thank you for having a wonderful, peaceful, practical, profitable relationship to you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's what they were saying. They didn't even know have anything like you have or I have today, but that's what they were to say. Thank you. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. Wonderful, wonderful sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, having that, and you can keep reading. We don't have time to do that, but if we did. Now, sliding over, if you would, to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. And in Psalm 50, now if you read the sacrifices and everything, the sacrifice of thanksgiving was part of their what they did every day. Thanksgiving. Now, they did that based on the sacrifice, based on the person of Jesus Christ, not based on their feelings, their fears, their frustrations. They were honoring God's wonderful presence and grace and his future program for Israel by way of the cross, that wonderful program for Israel, in order that what? That say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. In the person of Christ. We don't. But boy, we want to be thankful. And how are we going to say thank you, God? With our heart. How can we, anyone could say thank you. And by the way, you and I we celebrate Thanksgiving, which is a most unique event in all of history. In all of history, even Israel's history. Because the pilgrims came over, and in the process, they were seeking to worship God. And in 1621, after they had lost half of the people with them, I think they had 50 or something left people, whatever it was, and they offered thanksgiving. 50 of them left or whatever. And they offered thanksgiving. And you know what came out of that? Our nation. Our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our nation. And we have a national holiday based on not just something else, based on the fact that we were founded for God's, to know God and honor God, and thankfulness is part of our history. It's part of our nation, part of our background. It isn't found today. You know, it isn't like it should be, and that's our problem, because we've got a great division. Division. Never going to be fixed. It's going to make it for a crisis, ultimately. Crisis. Not going to be fixed. Nope. We're headed there. Now, hang on. In the light of that, Psalm 50. God, and remember now, may I pick up, please, in verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls, the birds of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? No. What are we going to give to God? What do you want to give to God that's yours, that's mine? What are you going to give him? What do you have to give him? Who's created you? God. No. The only thing you have, Psalm 50, is thanksgiving. That's what you give him. You have nothing else to give him. No matter how you cut the cookie, you only can give him thanksgiving. Because everything is his. We just read it in Revelation chapter 4. All things were created by him, for his pleasure. God, the only thing we can give you is that, therefore, you understand, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. So God, that's what we're going to do. And that's what I'm trying to, in our little time we have, to try to get us to be a little bit thoughtful, refreshed in our memory thought about being thankful. And why it isn't existent. Because we aren't receiving the benefits. And if we don't receive the benefits and we aren't aware of the benefits, you aren't going to be thankful about them. There's no thanksgiving because we don't, not you, but because we don't receive anything. Who receives anything from God, you see? Oh, we'll give him whatever. No, you don't give him anything except thanksgiving. And then you give him yourself, which you're bought with a price. Wow. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, to pick up the thought, over, if you would, to Philippians. All different ways to do this in the little moments we have, but over to Philippians. And Philippians chapter 4, you would recall all the different ways God does it for us. Philippians chapter 4. May I pick up, please? God, now you, thanksgiving is the word of being able to honor and appreciate that you are a receiver of God, God's care, God's presence, God's grace, God's mercy, and you recognize God is good. He's just plain good. And you recognize that. And we're the receivers of it. Wow. Now, so here's Philippians 4. I'm just stirring up a little bit. So if the Lord tarries and we have lived to tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, we'll find that out when we get there. But verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and you know you have it probably memorized, underlined in your mind and heart, do so with what? Thanksgiving. You want to talk to me, said God, about whatever it is, do it with thanksgiving. Make sure you understand that I am doing and being, I hear you, I understand. You don't even know what you're saying most of the time, God said, in the light of what's going on, but I do. So I hear you, I understand, I'm watching over you, trusting you, God, with all our heart as we journey down the corridor of time, and therefore with thanksgiving. So we have to go when we talk to God about our problems and our needs. We need to do so with thanksgiving. Now, what does that mean? When you say thank you, you're receiving the benefits. You got a problem, a need, a heartache, a headache. You're looking to God with thanksgiving. So you're expecting and looking for what? God's grace and mercy on top of you. His being good to you. All things work together for good. And you expect that. So you do that. Do you do that? Do it again. Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And picking up, if I may, in verse 7. Colossians and 7. 2 and 7. Rooted and built, I'll read verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord by simple faith, we asked him into our heart and life, and received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, the body of truth to be believed, as you have been taught, hopefully, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we're going to walk before you, God, inch by inch, with thanksgiving. That's right. As you walk in the light, as I am in the light, you have fellowship one with another. God and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 11. Here we are looking to you, God, and thanksgiving, just general living, a specific living, specific problems, always with thanksgiving. No question. And keeping in mind, here we are on planet Earth, and therefore we don't want to get caught up in what's the world, where's it headed? Well, we shared it the other day. How am I going to live in this world, in this body, at this point in history, which is where we are? We're going to understand that we are no longer here. We belong there. God leaves us here for his honor and glory to make himself known. God's saying, I've risen again from the grave, and I want you to know there's an empty tomb, and there's reason in the empty tomb. If you don't understand the empty tomb, all you got to do is look at that believer over there, and he does not have an empty heart anymore. I dwell in his heart, Christ in the person, the hope of glory. There he is. There's my believer. And the angels look, the good guys and the bad guys and all looking, and there's the believer. Aha! Evidence. Now, in the light of that, God, here we are, chapter 11, Hebrews. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. We're only here for a little bit. We don't belong here, so we don't have to sit down the future. Your future isn't how things go in the next 10 years. Your future is there. That's where your future is. It isn't here. So we're hoping, what's going to happen 10 years from now? It isn't here. So you get on, so what's it going to be like? It's not going to be good. How's that? Prediction. We're headed to tribulation. It isn't going to be good. Oh, it's the next 10. I'm not headed there. I don't care where it is in 10 years from now, if I'm still alive or you are. We're here. We're here, but we aren't. This isn't where we're going. We don't belong. We're just here, strangers and pilgrims. And go on, let me just read a little more. In the earth, sliding down. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But they aren't interested in returning. They left, strangers, pilgrims, verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They're looking. Well, they aren't looking for here. They're looking for what God's going to do. Now you want to tie that together, chapter 13. And in chapter 13, if I can, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, set apart the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, Jerusalem. Let us go, therefore. What's the believing? Christ died. Christ was crucified outside the city. The world rejected him and crucified him. Therefore, verse 13, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We understand, we aren't going to fit in. We don't want to fit in. No, we fit it out. We belong to him. That's where we're headed. So we aren't interested. You can say what you want. Then you aren't going to fit in with us. I don't need to fit in with you. I don't belong in there anymore. I'm all finished. Now, therefore, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city. A city again. But we seek one to come. Now, not it wasn't just the Old Testament believers in 11. In 13, it's for us. We aren't looking for here. We're looking for there. Therefore, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. What is the fruit of our lips anyway? What on earth are we saying? Thank you. Thank you to his name. Thank you. What are you guys saying? Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing and how you do it. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you. Thank you.